Good morning. It's great to see you all here this morning. I'm very thankful for this opportunity to be able to come out and speak this lesson for you guys. So the title of my lesson this morning is, Where Does Our Faith Stand? Now today's lesson, we're going to observe the faith of the disciples. Now normally when you think of the disciples, you sort of think about their faith after the death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not what we're going to focus on this morning. This morning we're going to focus on the faith of the disciples when they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. And as we all know, it was a little bit shaky. So there are five major events we're going to observe this morning. That is the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, the calming of the storm, the refusal to accept Jesus' crucifixion, and of course, denying Christ. In each of these events, we'll see that Jesus is constantly trying to teach his disciples a lesson through his actions. So before we move into our four events, let's briefly go over the meaning of the word faith. So if you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read the first three verses there. So as we all know, Hebrews chapter 11 is sort of the hall of faith, if you will. And in the beginning of this chapter, it sort of gives an overview of the word faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is in the first three verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. As stated in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Everything that is discovered during this time and age, someone requires physical evidence. The strongest evidence that we have as Christian is Jesus Christ and His Word. All people, including Christians today in the world, should believe that with observing the scenery, with the very fact that during this time and age, we are still able to come together and to fellowship with one another. During this virus, we're still able to come together and fellowship, whether it be in person or whether it be as we were via webcam. This is our evidence of an existing, powerful, merciful God. Now, unfortunately, in the world we live in today, most people want real, physical evidence of a powerful, living God. So the lesson we're going to observe today shows the disciples walking and talking with God. Why would their faith be so small? As we go through this lesson, I want you to think about this question as we go through it. And that question is, where does our faith stand? So the first event we're going to look at this morning is the feeding of the 5,000. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, that's where we'll primarily be for this lesson, is Matthew chapter 14. But before reading this, I want to give more background to the text before we jump in. So before this, John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod. And John the Baptist died because of his faith that he had in Jesus. Now, once the John Baptist died, the disciples heard and they came and they buried John the Baptist. And once they did that, they went and they told Jesus about this terrible news. Now, normally when you hear about the death of a family member or a friend, you tend to want to be alone and withdraw yourself from everyone and just mourn. And which is what Jesus did. He went and withdrew himself. But the crowd saw Jesus and decided to follow him. And this is how Jesus reacted. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Now notice Jesus' response here that he makes to the disciples. Remember, Jesus just received this news about John the Baptist. So you would think that he would you know, not want to be around these people. But once all these people came, what did he do? He showed love. And he showed compassion. And he healed their sick. That should amaze us about Jesus. Now the disciples, really thinking to themselves, only trying to help Jesus, but really in reality did not want to be around the people, just told Jesus, you know what, just send them away. Send them away and let them go buy their own food. And Jesus says in verse 16, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And right here, Jesus is testing the disciples. Now let's see what the disciples' response was. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 37 sort of gives more information to this text. Mark chapter 6 and verse 37. But he answered them and said, you give them something to eat. Excuse me. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? So very sarcastically, the disciples asked if they should buy this inadequate amount of food for these people. And as we've seen, the disciples failed the test. So let's continue here in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, picking up in verse 17. They said to him, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. We see here that Jesus was able to take these 5 loaves and these 2 fish that he had to feed the 5,000. Amazing what the power of God, the power of Jesus, can do for us. As we read through the book of Matthew, and we see previously how many miracles Jesus was able to do in the presence of the disciples. So why would their faith be so small? The lesson that Jesus was trying to teach the disciples is that we must be able to trust God that He will provide. We will suffer all kinds of hardships, whether it be a lack of food, lack of necessities. But we must believe and have the faith in God that He will provide. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We need to put our faith in God and trust that He will provide for us with the things that we need if, and only if, we seek Him first. But the question we need to continue to think about is, where does our faith stand? Would we be like the disciples and forget about God? Let's remember these questions as we move to the next event. The second event we're going to observe is Jesus walking on water. We'll continue in Matthew chapter 14. But to give more detail to this text, this was following the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus withdrew himself, still thinking about the news he received from the disciples, and he went on this mountain to pray. On the other hand, the disciples were in the boat quite a bit away from the land, and they were hit with this storm. And this massive storm, rocking the boat, the waves crashing, and they were terrified. But in the distance, they see this man walking on water. Look at Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 26. Matthew 14, starting in verse 26. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So the disciples, seeing this amazing thing, are afraid because they've never seen anyone walk on water before. And so, being in awe, Peter asked Jesus, Jesus, allow me to walk on the water with you. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter gets out the boat and he starts to walk on the water, and only for a moment he was able to feel the power of Jesus. Only for a moment. But then he got distracted and he fell. And Jesus says this in verse 31, although it's very short, has a powerful meaning. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? We all have distractions in the world today that take our focus from Jesus. This pandemic, the death of friends and family members. And the list can go on, but the one thing that seems to be easy for us to do is to cast blame on God. We have little faith when we doubt Jesus, when we doubt God. The application that Jesus wanted to show the disciples is that we cannot be distracted. We cannot be afraid. Who are we to fear when we have God on our side? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. Verse 7 says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. And then Psalms chapter 31. Psalms chapter 31 and the first five verses. Psalms 31 and the first five verses. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. We have distractions all around us, from television shows, movies, music, the sins of the world that are constantly trying to entrap us. Do not allow these distractions to overtake us. We must rule over these temptations. Fear no one, because we have God with us. But these questions still need to be on our mind. Where does our faith stand? Are we doubting God right now in our lives? Keep these questions in mind as we continue to the next event. A third event we're going to observe is the calming of the storm. Well, we'll be reading Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 8. In verses 23 through 27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So Jesus is sleeping on the boat while this massive storm is happening. And the disciples are afraid, and they're seeing Jesus asleep and saying, Jesus, why are you asleep? We're having this storm. Aren't you afraid? And Jesus wakes up and he says the same phrase that he said when he walked on water. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Throughout this lesson, we have seen time and time again where Jesus is doing miracles in the presence of the disciples. And they're there in the presence of it all, seeing it with their own eyes. So why is their faith so small? Why can't they understand the greatness and the power of Jesus Christ? The lesson Jesus was teaching his disciples is to not be afraid, to find comfort that Jesus is there. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There's a lot of terrible things happening right now. Things that are completely out of our control. From this virus, from men and women committing sin in their own hearts, from things that we see on the news, we as Christians need to find comfort in the arms of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Find comfort in God. Allow God to be your shelter in the time of this storm. But the question we need to keep in our mind is, where does our faith stand? Are we denying or ignoring the power of Jesus Christ? Keep this in mind as we continue to the next event. The fourth event we're going to look at this morning is the refusal by Peter to accept Jesus' crucifixion. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we'll start in verse 21. Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third day and raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So prior to this scripture here, before in verses 13 through 20, we have Peter confessing that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus is moved by this confession that he says in verse 17 through 18, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you." And it goes on with praise for Peter until verse 20. But to the point in where Jesus is ecstatic with this confession from Peter. But then we get into verses 21 and 23, where Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. And Peter is filled with anger and saying, "You know what, Jesus, I'm never going to let this happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me." For you are a hindrance. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 47. Verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against me as a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. The disciples still refusing Jesus' crucifixion. One removes his sword and cuts off the ear of one of the guards because he was still not wanting the death of Jesus to happen. We cannot stand in the way of Jesus' mission because God has a plan for each and every one of us. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. And also Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust God and the plans He has for you. Plans He has for us. There is a reason for His plan. Just like there was a reason for Jesus' crucifixion. So that we can all have that hope of heaven. The question still needs to remain on our minds. Where does our faith stand? Would we stand in the way of Jesus' mission? Remember this as we continue to our last event. The last event is Peter denying Christ. But prior to Peter's denial, Jesus foretells this situation happening in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 30. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. So Peter clearly states here that he would never deny Jesus. That he would even lay down his own life for Jesus. And as we all know, Jesus' prophecy never failed to come true. Continuing in Matthew chapter 26 and starting in verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw them, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke and curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered a saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you would deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. But Jesus' prophecy became true. After Jesus was taken by the guards, Peter denied Jesus three times. This shows the lack of faith that Peter had in Jesus during this time. The last scripture I want to read this morning is Psalms chapter 27. We read it this morning. Psalms chapter 27 and verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. We can all come to church, and we can hear lessons, and we can say to ourselves, "I will never deny Christ." If I was in that same position as Peter, I would never deny Christ. If I saw all those miracles that Jesus did, I would never deny Christ. But when that time comes, are we going to remain true to our word? Are we going to have that strong faith to press on? Whom shall we fear when we have God on our side? We all go through different things in our lives, but we can still be guilty of denying Jesus as our Savior. So the question remains, where does our faith stand? Would we deny Jesus to save our own lives? This morning I have presented five major events from the book of Matthew to show that lack of faith the disciples had in Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, the calming of the storm, the refusal to accept Jesus' crucifixion, and denying Christ. All these events that were observed this morning were observing the lack of faith the disciples had during their physical journey with Jesus. However, all but one of the apostles grew in their faith after the resurrection of Jesus, and except for Judas the Iscariot. Throughout the lesson, I have posed questions to think about, and we should continue to think about these questions as we go on our spiritual journey. And those questions are, where does our faith stand? Will we be like the disciples and forget that God will provide for us? Are we doubting God right now in our lives? Are we denying or ignoring the power of Jesus Christ? Would we stand in the way of Jesus' mission? And finally, would we deny Jesus to save our own lives? If the world ended today, if the world ended after this lesson, where would our faith stand? Will God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Or will He say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? Today, if you are not a Christian, and you have seen that becoming a Christian is important, and you want to take that first step, well, that first step is being baptized this morning, and that water is ready for you. But if you are a Christian, and you have been lacking in your faith, you have not allowed God to be your shelter in the time of this storm, and you need prayers from the congregation, please, let it be known as we stand and sing.